Det her er det Vega-producerede koncertportrætprogram på Loud, hvor vi undersøger live-maskinrummet til artister ude på spillesteder og venues. I denne episode har jeg inviteret den Oslo-baserede kvartet Dagfødt ind i pitten for at indkapse deres første København-koncert på deres første headliner-turné. De er et punkband, som jeg for halvandet år siden til Bylarm Festival i Oslo opdager og hurtigt bliver drejet ind i deres fængslende, energiske og blå univers. Derudover fiskede deres debutalbum Thousand Island en spillemandspris for årets rockudgivelse sidste år. Bandet består af Eskil på bas, Annika på vokal, Eirik på guitar og Mats på trommer. Sammen skriver og producerer de projektets musik, der kommer op i en højere enhed, når de optræder med den live. I denne episode skal vi forstå bandets kemi indbyrdes og med publikum. Hvorfor forsangeren Annika flækker sine tænder til deres koncerter, og hvad de tænker om at turnere i Danmark. Mit navn er Alexander Milanovic. Velkommen indenfor i pitten.
It has been the mood today here at Underværket. We are on top of the building and we found, I didn't even know, it's a music studio. It's very well sound isolated because two floors down, there are some bands having sound checks. Dagfødt, first and foremost, welcome inside of the pit.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Right now, as we're recording this episode, this concert portrait of you in the pit, you are on a tour.
Yes.
Yes. And normally you play a lot of gigs in Norway, but now you're here in Denmark. There has been some things with like moving your stuff here to now Copenhagen and doing the gigs, but let's just set the mood because you were up very early today.
Yes. We were up early today. Well, we travel using Gummiged so we can take all our gear from one place to the next. Yeah. It's very
you have
practical.
To get a specific driver's license to be able to drive a Gummiged.
Yes, 3 years.
You can possibly drive the one that's lille nok to be called Mini Lassen.
And it's actually the only one, Mats, you're the only one in Dagfødt who has that driver's license.
So I have fooled everyone. Yeah, thinking that I have the driver's license.
Gummiged driver.
I cannot drive a Gummiged, which has been shown throughout this tour.
Yeah.
But we are
some
still...
Horrible
what the fuck, Mats? What we're going to do now? Who's going to take
you,
the Gummiged out
of the
driver?
We are almost finished with tour.
We have a Gummiged in the parking house right now.
I will take care of
what
the
fuck are we going to do?
Don't worry about the Gummiged. I will make sure. I will call my friend Lars Martin. Okay. He has gone 3 years for Gummiged school. He can drive Gummiged.
Okay, so just to explain to people who are not familiar with the Gummiged joke, it's coming from your Aalborg gig.
Yes. Yeah. Eskil, you have to explain, I guess,
yeah,
because...
No, it's just our continuing fascination with the Danish language.
Yes.
And the beauty and quirky weirdness of it.
Yes.
And more specifically, our fascination with the term Gummiged. And how...
Yes. Rubber goat.
Yes. Yeah, rubber goat, which I have no idea what you really call it in English. You can carry heavy stuff. You can drive heavy stuff around in it. Big amounts.
Big,
huge amounts of heavy
and
stuff.
And they're yellow.
Can be driven around in a Gummiged.
And they're yellow in
and they're
the color.
And when Gummiged is lille nok, it blir kalt a mini lesser.
If anyone needs like a further explanation as to for this inside joke, just go to their Instagram account. You'll
yes.
be able to find it there.
Multiple Gummigeds in the Instagram account.
The joke is actually for another podcast, I think. Now we have to get inside of who you
sorry
are.
About that.
It's okay, it's okay. We like to, you know, set the mood, and it's weird today with lack of sleep, so to
yes.
say. We have to get to know you a little bit better. And the way we do it here on the show is to talk about what you're like when you go to concerts. So we're not going to work as like today. Where can we find you in the concert crowd? And I think we should start here on my right.
Yes.
Where are you normally in a concert crowd? What are you doing?
Usually almost front row, judging as much as possible. Regarding
judging,
yeah. Okay. So I can measure my own performance against other people's performances and feel good about myself.
Especially the drummers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is usually my role in the...
Aren't you the person that serves the beer?
I usually stand behind the bar. Usually stand behind the bar sweating.
Judging,
sweating, serving beer. For 98 Norwegian kroner, not 10 Danish kroner, which is absurd.
It's almost for free here, sorry.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I serve beer, judge, and have isolated experience in my mind regarding my own performance.
Wow. Yeah.
In like contrast to the performance I'm watching.
So you have a bit of like main character complex? Or
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
It has been confirmed.
That's fair, yeah.
What about you, Eirik? Do you ever go to concerts and judge the guitar players?
I try not to, but it's hard to avoid it. Yeah, but it depends. If it's like just really like noisy or fast stuff, I don't care. I don't bother trying to like pick out like the specific parts and stuff. I just go with the whole like noise of it. But it's more, if it's more like, more like detailed guitar stuff, I can't help myself but to like sit there and like wonder how do you do that? Or I could have done that better. Or it's really hard not to.
I have a hard time like placing you in a concert crowd, Annika.
Yeah.
What are you doing at a concert?
It depends if I have a beer in my hand or not, I guess. And I usually go to either my friends' concerts or mostly my friends, I guess. But so then I know Eric's girlfriend likes to stand in the back so he can't see her, but I'm the opposite. I want to be seen by my friends.
That's true.
To let them know that I have their back.
But are you also like embarrassing them? Like
No.
Like have like a handmade sign or
yes.
Like
and I drag their pants down while they're playing the solo. Yes.
Please.
That's me.
Yeah, no. I always get scared when I see Annika at the front row of one of my shows because then I have to watch her.
You tighten your belt.
Yeah. Yeah, tape your pants to your body. Yeah. But what about you, Eskil?
I guess I'm in the trying to be kind of in the middle of the crowd, not the big mosh pit type, but if the vibe is right, then I'll go for it. trying to be a conscious listener.
I think you're the most conscious listener.
The conscious listener. I can write that on my CV.
Eskil is notoriously dangerous. In Norway, he's known as the mosh pit killer.
No.
Yeah, the conscious listener and the mosh pit
killer. Yeah.
All in one.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe it.
Something I saw yesterday when we were watching the second band before us. Eskil puts his hands in the air and says "woohoo" when he likes it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to like this pose, and then it's like "woohoo" with his arms in the air.
Yeah, I usually like if I'm standing at shows, I tend to be standing like with my arms crossed, but I'm kind of conscious of like not to be seen as the one who stands with his arms crossed and is like super skeptical about the show. So I try to show that I enjoy it when I do, and sometimes great things happen with bands, and they do some kind of musical gesture or place like there's a great drum fill, and then I put my hands in the air and wave them like I just don't care. And usually say, woo!
Important. But do you ever go to gigs together?
We're actually planning to go on Veronica Maggio in Oslo Spektrum.
Yeah. We're big fans.
Yes.
What is it that Veronica is like so well at live? Why is she so magical?
I think we're just touched.
Isn't she magical at yeah, live?
We're all just touched to see Eskil in that position. Yeah. So we're just...
Yeah, Veronica Maggio showed me what music can mean to someone.
Yes.
When I saw the look on Eskil Myhrvold's face at Fjellparkfestivalen 2019.
Yeah, we played a festival in a small Norwegian town called Flekkefjord 2 years ago. And Veronica Maggio headlined the festival. So yeah, it was a great experience. Possibly one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Eskil was touched by something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were judging, Mats.
I was judging, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I didn't enjoy it at all. I was just judging. The drummer was better than me. I hated it.
Now, jumping into your project, we're going to leave you as concert guests. And I have to point out, about 1.5 years ago, we met in Oslo.
Yes.
Both you as a band and me, we were like different places. I was doing like college radio in Copenhagen and you were playing at the Bylarm. Now you are on a tour and I have my own show.
Yeah.
Growth.
Growth.
Dynamic characters.
Character development.
Yeah, yes. Character development.
Yes.
So like how are you feeling now on tour? What's happening?
Yeah.
It just got silent.
It's great. It's our first like proper tour as a band. Like we're playing this as a kind of belated tour in support of our first album, which came. It's called Thousand Island. And it came out like a bit over a year ago, September last year. So I think it's been a really great experience. We've used to play shows. It's always been like one or two shows and then we wait a couple months and then it's another one. So it's great to see how we're working as like a functional touring unit and being able to play like several shows in a row. And at least for me, it's great to be able to see how we like get better with every show. At least it feels like that for me. And how we can for the sake of our own development as a live band, like talk about things that maybe both things that went well and possibly things that didn't go as well, and maybe can we change something to make that work better, and then be able to test it out immediately. And that's I think that's a great and really important experience for us as a band.
And going back to the Thousand Island album, I'm quite curious, parallelly with us sitting in a music studio now, did you have any discussions when making the album like, okay, it has to be nice live? What was the duality there?
We had the opportunity to test a lot of the songs live beforehand, which we didn't with our...
We've recorded the second album, which will be out sometime next year, probably. And
Annika, you're looking very confused right now.
She doesn't know. Don't tell her.
Is it an instrumental album?
I'm just kidding.
No, it shouldn't be a secret that we've been in the studio, I guess.
I don't know. The music works live.
Yeah.
I guess the songs really was made in a period where we were playing a lot and rehearsing a lot. So it kind of felt natural to, or that they were maybe made first to be played, or...
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
It's nothing like extra stuff. It's not that much extra stuff going on that we can't do live on the...
Yeah. I guess one important aspect of it was that the Thousand Island album was recorded over a period of like almost like 18 months in three separate studio sessions. So we recorded some songs and then we played a lot of shows and wrote new songs and then we recorded them and then we made some new ones. So we had the opportunity to like review the songs continually, and but they were definitely written in for a live context, and then you try to make it work in the studio,
which it obviously did.
Oh,
yeah, ballsy take on our own album from drummer Mats.
I've been judging the album.
But this new material, without like getting too like explicit what's on it and all that, like, do you had like the same conversations? Is this also have to, you know, work well live?
Yeah, we're kind of experiencing that right now, I guess. Like on the last rehearsal before going on tour, I just really felt that one song, I just cringed really hard when I sang it, so we just had to take it out of the set list, and I guess that's kind of a sign that if a song works or not for us.
Also on I guess the dilemma you end up in as a band, as a recording band who also plays live, is that like we're just bass, guitar, drums and vocals. It's like you have some limitations on what you can do live, and on the first album we played quite a lot with adding extra guitars and some synths and percussion sounds, so we kind of made a point out of that to like try to expand the songs into kind of bigger universes or something. Try to I guess for me at least, it was a bit about distinguishing them from the live versions of that songs, even if the form of the song, like the lengths of the different parts are similar, the vibe gets changed quite drastically when they're reduced again when we're touring to like just being a loud punk quartet.
What's best then, like performing, like doing gigs, or being in the studio and creating the music?
Performing. Live gigs,
I agree.
Definitely.
It's energetic music and it works better when you get energy back from someone you're playing it to, like in a crowd. It works in the studio as well, of course, but it's like a different vibe.
It's fun for a week and then it's not fun anymore.
That's true.
I'm a bit the opposite. I love performing that material live, but I'm also quite enjoying the process of like rehearsing a lot and being able to test out different ideas. And we write all our songs like together. In rehearsals, try to get to make it as much as a democratic process as possible. So I kind of enjoy that process of playing a song like 50 times and changing, like, oh, maybe that part should be like two beats longer, and then we try that, and it's like no, maybe four beats longer, and just like try to figure out the ultimate version, how you can portray the ID for the song in like the best possible way.
And Eske likes that so much that he usually is like, when we are having sound checks, he's like, oh, maybe we should syncopate into that verse.
Yeah, we've played that song for in a specific way for like 2 years now, and I'll be like, maybe the second verse should be a bit longer.
So are you confirming now there will be like a remix album coming maybe for Christmas?
Oh, I'd be really into that. Like just punishing the band in the studio to unlearn everything we've done for the past 2 years. And
let's
then
go.
Making
let's
different
go.
Versions of everything.
I came here at the Underwerkel during your get-in/sound check, it was quite interesting to see you like before a show in that way. Mats, you weren't wearing shoes.
And during the shows either.
Yeah. And you were checking your drums. It was something like they had been out in the cold and then in the heat it wasn't working. Annika, you're a little bit sick and you had just put like a lot of suitcases all over the floor, dragging out the merch, hanging it up. The other bands tonight are not having merch, apparently, because you took that merch stand. What is happening, actually, before a show for you as a band?
You summed it up pretty much. Yeah.
That's
you
it.
Painted
next
a
question.
vivid picture of what
question.
Our get-ins and sound checks are like.
Yeah. But I think that's something that happened this tour, because we're never like had any specific routines before. We had to have it like now.
You were forced to it.
Yes.
Yeah, we were.
So it's just, I call it schmeck schmeck. it has to be done and we have to do it together right away. Schmeck schmeck.
I guess it's about like finding a way, because you come in and you're often like today there, you're often like pressed on time, and we came here at 5 and there's 3 bands going to have a sound check before the doors open at 8, so you have to be like quite quick and schmeck schmeck with everything you do. So I guess we've learned like just over the past 2 weeks what you can do to like make everything happen as quickly as possible. Yeah. While can you help carry something, or can you help set something up if you know how it should be done?
But maybe this schmeck schmeck is not always good, if I can say that, because something was forgotten in Albo.
You had to mention it.
Of course.
Yes.
What happened with the box and schmeck schmeck?
That's a good point.
We got too schmeck schmecky about it.
Yes.
I guess.
Schmeck schmeck isn't perfect, but it's a strategy that we're working on.
Yeah, it's continually developing the schmeck schmeck strategy.
It's in development, yeah. And
so
sometimes
you reached Weile, and then you got a message.
Yeah, because we schmeck schmecked in Aalborg, and then we drove to Copenhagen, and in Weile we got text message.
Yeah, I got a Facebook message from our promoter.
Just, dude.
Dude, and a lot of exclamation marks. And I was, at first I didn't see, he attached a photo, but I like only got the preview up on my phone, and I thought he was going to, maybe he was going to say something nice about us, or like, wow, you guys played a rad show last night. But then I opened the message and it was a picture of all our records. two boxes of vinyls left at Tusenfryd in Aalborg. So we got too schmeck schmecky about it.
Yeah. Who is going to be responsible for it? Who's taking
it? Eirik.
You look shook now, Eirik.
Where did that come from?
No, someone has to take the blame, and I guess it could be Eirik this time. No, it's I guess it's a collective fault.
Yes,
in some way.
It's very important for the schmeck schmeck ideology. That
the church of schmeck schmeck.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting into something here. Yeah.
But that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
If not, it doesn't work to schmeck schmeck.
Yeah, great
song. You can't schmeck schmeck alone.
Yeah, you can't schmeck schmeck alone. A great song, we're all in this together, and a great message to represent the process we're working on.
Absolutely. Now, I watched you live more than like 1.5 years ago at Budam in Oslo. I'm really excited to see what you're going to do, like actually with the set list and everything. Where do you feel like you have like grown as a live band? Okay, Eirik, you got it.
For once, we're playing like more than like 25 minutes. We're actually playing like maybe 45 or 47.
Growth.
Yeah. That's like the main change.
Character development.
Yeah. Like we actually play a proper like headline set instead of just like a showcase 25 minutes or support sets or something. And then, with practiced, I guess.
Yeah.
We've done that before too.
Yeah, but we're better now, I think. I hope so.
Yeah. But like, what are the ingredients for your live shows? I'm not going to say anything. I wanted to hear it from you. If we had to boil it down into like a recipe. Eskil, yes. You're just staring at me like, what?
I guess someone at some point gets screamed in the face, I guess.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes.
The important part of a Døfødt live show is Annika Linn Verdal Homme.
The scream? So just a scream.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Nothing personal. Like, just...
How do you choose that person? Like, you look like a bitch. I'm going to scream in your face tonight.
You look like you enjoy it. I'm going to scream in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not doing it to be rude or anything. It's just sometimes they're looking like they're asking for it, kind of. In either a positive or a negative way, I guess. Yeah, that's my answer. That's my final answer.
But yeah, you're not going to scream. Like, what are important?
We scream. Oh. Don't you worry.
So you're actually going to like stop drumming, go out to the crowd, choose a person, and scream into their
no,
face?
No, I can multitask. I can scream and drum. And, yeah.
But what are important ingredients for you?
I need to have enough of my own guitar and my monitors, so I like really feel the punch.
Yeah. And he gets to hear himself.
Yeah, and I get some shit for that.
We tease him about it.
Yeah, a lot of times when we come to sound check with a sound tech we haven't worked with before, I'm always like, give me as much guitar as you can. You have to think it's like it's stupid amounts of guitar.
But I need more than that.
Yeah, pretty much. That's I really need that, and then I really need like to get sort of like I need to feel like the best feeling is like when you feel like the stage is shaking from the like the bass and the bass drum, not too much because then I can't hear anything, but just like to the beat of the bass drum, I can feel like the whole stage like shaking. That's pretty much it for me. Like pure decibel, pretty much. Yeah.
To sketch out for tonight, you have a sound technician with you,
yes.
Lynn. What is your relationship with her?
She's the scariest woman I have ever met.
Yeah. And that's why she had to go on tour with you.
Yes.
And she's the coolest woman.
What's the word in English? Ærefrykt.
I have no idea. But
I have
no
idea.
She's great. She is the house tech, or she has been the house tech at a place in Oslo called Revolver. For a couple of years, and we've played there a couple of times, and just always had a great experience with her. And we knew that she knows how a punk band should sound.
Yeah, and she's also a legend in the Oslo underground.
She plays in a band called Death Crush, a great band.
Shout out!
Shout out to Death Crush. Shout out to Linn and Vidar.
Yes.
On a technical note, before I'll let you relax a little bit before your gig, there are a lot of pedals on stage. Eric, do you want to present what the pedals you're using tonight?
I don't think we use that many now. It's been a lot worse.
Yeah. For Eric, I'm on quite the same amount as I've been for a couple of years.
And compared to like other people I play with, this is like the most stripped back rig almost that I used. Yeah.
It's quite simple.
Yeah, I have, first my tuner, of course, and then I have one, so it's sort of like an octave fuzz, but without the fuzz part. So it's kind of reminds me of a ring modulator stuff. And then I have one more of those into a fuzz. And then I have like just a standard Boss Blues Driver cheap Boss pedal, and then the Boss DM2 delay, just like a slapback, and then that's it.
Smack smack.
Yeah, and we made a little. Me and Eskil came up with an idea to like split my big pedal board into two parts, so we can carry both our pedal boards in one bag. So we have like less stuff to carry.
Growth.
Yeah.
Growth, growth. Yeah, touring logistics.
Yeah, yeah. What about your pedals?
I have one fuzz pedal that I leave on for the entire show. When we were in the studio the last time, I left it on for a week because I use it all the time. It's kind of my sound in this band. I guess more than the bass I play. I guess the bass I play would be most important for like my feeling of it, but I think that pedal is more important for the sound, the bass sound in this band. And then I have a tuner and a delay and another delay pedal, which I just use for all the parts where you normally would have like another guitar that goes and then you go into the chorus or something. And we don't have another guitar. So
Not yet.
Growth. So I have to cover that. So there's like just 15 different places in the set where I have to like make some noise to go into the next part to like make it interesting and feel like stuff is happening.
And stuff will happen in a few hours when you'll go on the Underværket stage. I'll let you relax now. I don't know if you want to hang out here in this music studio, but we'll talk right after your concert. Snacking on chips, sweets, and this like drinking this fake Coca-Cola, or like, can I say Coca-Cola? It's not Coca-Cola. It's not. It's like Sport Cola.
Sport Cola. Hancock Bryggerierne. Sport Cola.
Not sponsored.
Yeah, we're not sponsored
at all. This is now after your gig, and we're sitting in the backstage room that looks like a laundry room. Very, very special here in the at Underværket. Mats, you wanted to say something. No. You've been drawing a silly rabbit on the paper. But you played a gig here, your first Copenhagen gig. Yes. How are you feeling right now?
Overwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the word, maybe. It takes some time to like land after a show like that. Yeah. Mm. But it was great.
So you feel like you've landed, or because you went straight to the merch stall that you've made at the sound desk and you've like cleared the entire stage, packed all your gear down?
I think the landing will happen maybe tomorrow at some point. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess.
Schmeck-schmeck.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to finish the schmeck-schmeck and then you can like get in the process of like winding down.
But you've been very like effective, I would say, with the schmeck-schmeck tonight.
Yeah.
Everything went just like bam, 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 bam. But now we have to talk the set list through. And I've been doing some mental notes in this like really hectic, chaotic crowd that was standing in front of you.
Yeah, so that was quite a mosh pit.
Yeah. That was quite mosh pit, schmeck, schmeck, yes. Yeah. So you actually start off stage and I was a little bit like, wow, what is happening? Because it was kind of like you were kind of like getting your bodies ready to like run onto the stage and you had some kind of like dramatic sound going on as well.
Yeah.
What is the thoughts behind the intro?
I've made an intro track which we it's a bit highbrow, but it's a guitar feedback piece based on the Georgi Ligetis Lux Aeterna choir piece, like loosely. It just sounds really scary. Yeah, it sounds like some horror movie soundtrack thing. We just wanted something. We haven't really had an intro track before this tour. We've always just like gone on stage and just make a bunch of noise and then we stop and then Annika starts off with a fail. We've had that song as the first song in the set for quite a while now. But we just wanted some kind of like dramatic build-up, which also works as something that we can like plug in our guitars and see if everything works. And just to avoid that awkward silence when going on stage and making sure that everything's okay.
Yep.
Something that's really important for this concert tonight was the crowd. you were the third band going on stage here at Underwergel, and the crowd was warm, to say the least.
Yeah.
The floor, it was like moist. The walls were moist. The ceiling was moist. A lot of dudes without shirts.
Yeah.
And one of them looked like he was on Jersey Shore or something.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe he was. Maybe we had like a small B celebrity in the crowd.
What, in your words, Mats, what are the people that you're looking down on from your drum set?
From my perspective, I see a lot of smoke, a lot of flashing lights, a lot of Annika, like checking, are you okay? I was going, yeah, I'm okay. And that's pretty much it, yeah.
You can't see the crowd?
I can't see anyone from...
You actually have the worst seat.
Dude, I saw
at a Dauphin concert.
I saw one guy staring at Eirik for like...
Yeah, the
probably
long-haired guy.
15
yeah,
minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he started playing like air guitar. It was sick.
Oh my god, he was judging you.
It was like style.
Yeah. We found Mats in the crowd tonight.
Oh, and one guy that just... I think he tried to do like the classic like hardcore... like pile up at the like the end of the stage, but stage is like 20 centimeters high, so you can't do the like stage dive pile up stuff. So just ran a little half circle around Annika's monitor, and then it just disappeared. I don't know.
actually happened tonight?
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah, but it's always like super nice with a very enthusiastic crowd as the one. Yeah, also with like nice support bands as we had tonight.
Yeah.
It's to go on stage and feel like everyone's actually like really ready and really hyped to see, to hear some loud rock music.
Early in this episode, we talked, or you told Annika that you wanted to go like in the crowd and yell at someone. You also moshed with people? You went out in the crowd multiple times. What happened?
Yeah. When I got on stage, the mosh pit was there instantly when we started, which I don't think I've experienced that before. It was very... And it was only dudes, like this really, really macho dudes, a lot of them. So I felt... like the mosh pit was very threatening, and that's I can't remember that I have felt that way ever. I always felt very welcome in the mosh pit, so I felt like I had to try it out. I couldn't let that stop me from doing what I normally do, because I happened to go upstage and down in the crowd, because that's how you scream people in the face. And I noticed that they kind of calmed down when I went down, which was okay. I like my teeth the way they are. I don't want them crushed.
We've had a couple incidents with that before.
Please elaborate.
Just I've lost tiny bits of my teeth. Like my front teeth. I lose maybe a tiny particle for every gig.
That's the price I wanted to pay if I was in a band.
Yes. I'm planning, I'm saving going to the dentist in like 15 years so I can fix it.
All teeth are missing at that point.
Yes.
So now you played this gig, and obviously it's not one of your first gigs. I would like to try a new thing out with you guys. Mats, you are having really big eyes. I want each of you to mention what the three other members of the band, like the best attributes they bring out of you when you play a gig together.
Oi.
So,
okay.
Eskil, what is the best that Mats he can bring out of you?
I think the best he can bring out in me.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I always feel confident when playing with Mats, because he's just a super solid rock drummer, and he which I guess is the case with like most of the band here. Like, I feel like they all bring out the confident part in me where I can always trust everyone in doing their part of the show, which makes it easier for me to have fun. I'm a worrisome guy, so when we go on stage, I can always like trust everyone to do a solid job, and that's fun. What makes this band fun?
Mm. Is it the same with you, Mats? That everyone here in the band makes you feel more confident, or do they pull something out of you that's different?
Yeah, they make me feel confident. I'm never afraid that like anyone else is gonna mess up. So when I mess up, it's me. it's my own fault if I mess up. But yeah, I like when there's movement. Eilik did a thing yesterday where he ran into the crowd, which he hasn't done in a while, and did like backflips and shit. It was crazy. and that really brought, that gave me like a kick. Yeah. And then I played much faster. And then we... No, that's not true. Yeah, but yeah, I like when Annika engages with people, screaming people in the face. That's fun. That's fun to watch because people get like, they react differently usually. Yeah. When I can see them, it's not always the case. I can see them. I like when Eskil turns around and does like, I can't show people because this is...
Explain, what are you doing? You just like almost half jumped in the couch.
I was like eye contact.
But like and aggressive with the
aggressive,
bass?
Yeah, aggressive. Yeah. He's like mad. Like, play drums with Mats. You play those drums.
That's what he's saying with his look.
Yeah.
Play drums, Mats.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
And sometimes I just like to like turn around and try to single like, yeah, this is some good stuff happening right here. Yeah, we're a loud and fast rock band and it sounds great.
Eric, the best parts that the band pulls out of you.
I think it's pretty much the same as Mats and Eskil mentioned, that I always trust like they just do their thing and it always sounds good. And like Mats says, if somebody messes it up, it's usually me, I feel like. So I could just do whatever I feel like doing. Like Eskil said, I can like have some fun. And then I just trust them to just keep it going. And I don't have to worry about keeping like the time or like giving cues everywhere or anything. I could just do my thing. And then, yeah, I think that's it. And like, just a feeling of, as Mats described, same as well, sometimes when I like just turn around and like, get a look from Mats, and I just give him a little smile. That's like, that's like one of the highlights of the shows.
That's what keeps you going throughout the day. Like, yeah, I smiled at Mats today. So much peace. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, Annika?
Really appreciate everything they do. No, I feel like me and Mats has from the start always been the two that are the nervous ones. So we have kind of figured out that together, how to calm each other down, I feel. And now we're a bit chiller. Now I feel like I really trust Mats when to keep control with everything. But I also have two songs where I have to stare at Mats to get it right. So yeah, Mats is really important there. And Eskil always, I don't think he does it on purpose, but he always cues me in.
Yeah.
Yeah. and when I sometimes when they are playing the intro for a song, and Eskil is just shaking his head when I look at him, and that means it's not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I do some cues for the band, but I don't always like think too much about it. But it's like a lot of like lifting head my head and nodding like, yeah, now. or quite a lot of like, no, it's not yet. It's not yet. And I try to make it like, I swing my head from side to side and I try to make it like, as clear as possible, so like both Annika and Mats can see me, so you can see it from the back that I'm turning my head.
Something is sideways. Happening.
Yeah, it's not yet, but it's now, and then I nod.
So yes. From your first Copenhagen concert, what have you learned from this gig?
Great. Danes are great audiences.
Sweaty, yeah. Without any shirts.
Sweaty, shirtless audiences.
But it also feels like we're reaching out in another way that we've done before. Because now it's some a woman from Balkan.
Yeah, somewhere. No, she was from like... from the Baltics, from like Estonia.
Potato, potato! I love when people do this. Like, yeah. Estonia, no, that's on Balkan.
Something else.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought she said Balkan. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, no. Either way, Europe.
This woman from Europe.
This woman from Europe. No, she said. Didn't she say? Okay, whatever. But yeah, we're reaching out in a different way, not only to some wasted 19-year-olds that hang in Kristiansand, our hometown. Like, this is different. It hits different too.
Yeah, I kind of feel that we've played to more of punk audience at both our the shows in Denmark, in Aalborg yesterday and today here, which isn't like always the case when we play in Norway. I guess because we've played quite a lot of small cities where there isn't like really a developed punk scene, or it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago, but that's not the case now. So we've played for more like rock oriented audiences,
yeah.
I feel, yeah. In some way. So it's nice to feel that people really resonate with where the music we play come from, like where our inspirations lie.
I love the energy level right now. Like, we need more candy, more snacks, more beer. Yeah. So we have actually reached the end of this concert portrait of you here in Pitten. There's something I haven't told you, and I never tell my guests because it's always funnier this way. Your eyes are popping out. Look, the energy level is now coming up. I love this. You are in charge of the outro. But my only criteria is that you somehow implement "See you in Pitten" in the next episode. People like Isa in the last episode, he sang it in his like mother tongue. People brought in a speech. People have been yelling it. Yeah, what do you all for? What do you feel like for an outro?
I feel like we can't do anything other than Annika screaming.
Okay, then you have to pull like.
Yeah.
I thought we're letting Eskil put something together on his computer.
I'll do it in post production.
Yeah, just give me like a couple days, and I'll put some samples together and okay. Interpret some 20th century classical pieces. Highbrow, shit, fuck.
Whatever you feel like saying or doing in an outro, but implement "See you in Pitten" in the next episode.
Should we say something like, "We are Dofut. It's been great to be part of this."
Pitten.
Of Pitten. But maybe we can say it like first, and then you just say like the catchphrase.
Yeah. What?
See you in Pitten in the next episode.
See you in Pitten in the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
The clown.
We are Dofut from Norway. It's been great to be a part of this podcast.
This is Peter! See you in the next episode!
Var det riktig?
Ja, det var bra. And, I like your ears, I'm so sorry. Annika, Eirik, Mats, Eskil, thank you so much for being a part of Pitten.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.